As you know, I'm a fairly touchy guy, but I've been trying to keep my distance from Mary this week because I've been battling a cold, as you probably have heard already in my voice. And so if I keep my distance from you this morning, you'll know it's not about you. It's about me. So I covet your prayers. Twice in two different songs we sang this morning already, it talked about weakness. And I feel that this morning in my body. So we'll see if how the Spirit moves, or if the Spirit chooses to move through the words that I have this morning. Amid the chaos of this week and the craziness of the news, perhaps the news feeds picked up a story that felt a little different than most we were hearing. The story of Will Smith, who turned 50 this week. Will Smith, the famous actor. And you know how he celebrated? Trina, how'd he celebrate?
He bungee jumped out of a helicopter over the Grand Canyon.
Hear that? Bungee jumped out of a helicopter over the Grand Canyon. The video footage shows a frightened Smith, this look of terror on his face as he's about to go out backwards out of his helicopter, fixed to this bungee cord, letting go and plunging until the bungee cord reaches its full extension and then catapults his body back up into the air. And you hear the sound of Will screaming in delight and terror. Why in the world would he do such a crazy thing? I read that he was doing it to raise money for a charity called Global Citizen, which has a goal to eliminate extreme poverty by the year 2030. It still didn't answer the question at all for me, why did he do this? But after the jump, he shouted, still feeling, I think, the adrenaline pumping through his body, from pure terror to sheer bliss. You have to commit, he said. You'll never experience joy unless you commit. Life is hard. You might get hurt. Your heart might be broken. You might lose your job, but you still got to commit. Quote from Will. I suppose that one could experience joy by committing to things other than diving out of a helicopter. Mary and I walk frequently on the path, and we hear the sounds of the airport, the Penn Ridge Airport. And especially on nice days like this, it's not uncommon to hear the squeals of those skydiving, of those and then we hear the sound of the parachutes opening and experience some of the joy and the bliss that's experienced there. Another Will Williman, a preacher and former chaplain at Duke University, engaged a student a number of years ago who had been bungee jumping while on a trip to Australia. Williman says to the student, "Are you nuts? What would your parents say about that?" And the student replied, "Well, I might be nuts, but I'm not crazy. They will never know." And Williman says, "What you did was irresponsible, risky." And the student replied, "Lighten up. After all, at least we have something in common. Look at you. You get up every Sunday morning up there strutting around, telling about God getting all messed up in people's lives. Isn't that something a little like bungee jumping? At least I use a cord." Have we sensed, have we experienced in our lives faith as risky, exhilarating, transforming even? Perhaps in dramatic or in quiet ways. In comforting ways or disruptive ways. in orders of service and in throwing out the orders of service. I think you know it. There are times when you're going about your life and something strange happens that clearly isn't attributable to you or your efforts. Something happens that didn't arise from within you, but from outside you. Something more. Or you have some thought or some experience in which you have a sense that more is going on that you can't quite put your finger on, and you wonder what the world is the source of that strange thought. Or perhaps this week someone made a disparaging remark about the current political climate, or about a person, or about a woman, or about a politician, including me. But then you spoke up to that disparaging remark. Even though you're not a courageous person by nature, you spoke up and you were surprised by your actions. Where did that courage come from? In such moments, you realize that there's more going on in the world, more going on in you, more going on in our congregation than you first thought. On the surface, it looks pretty calm. You look fairly normal as I look out at you. But there's more going on. There's more. There's more that can't be touched, tasted, or defined. And there's more that the Christian church has put on the Holy Spirit as the more. The not typical, the yet everyday experience of the Holy Spirit, the more of the Christian life, the unseen but undeniable power, the presence of God, the ongoing presence of the Christ in our world, active and alive in us and in the world. And today we focus on that transformational change through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in the world. Transformation, another word for change, sometimes radical, sometimes quiet, but never something that's finally accomplished in our lives or in our world so that we can say, oh, now we've been transformed. Isn't that nice? There's always more of the Spirit. Our faith says that it's the role of the Spirit to bring about transformation, not something we decide to bring upon ourselves as a kind of self-help kind of thing, but as the role of the Spirit from outside of us. And traditionally, we thought of the Holy Spirit as the divine comforter. The scriptures talk about the Spirit as comforter, and that's right. It is certainly one aspect of the Holy Spirit. Our reading from the Gospel of John is the account of Jesus coming into the presence of the disciples post-resurrection. The text says that they're huddled together behind closed doors. Why? For fear of the religious authorities. The religious authorities backed up in the day by the power of the Roman soldiers, the Roman swords, the power of the state, terrorizing stuff. When you start messing with that combination of religion and state, and this fearful tiny band is well aware what happened to their leader and feared that the same thing was about to happen to them, so they lock the doors. They feel terror. And Jesus adds to their terror by coming to them. The one that they thought was dead now stands among them. And no wonder they need peace spoken to them. They need some comfort. The text says that he breathes on them, the thing that I will try to avoid doing to you. The wind, breath, the pneuma, which we are all ways of describing the Spirit. This certainly is a comforting text to these frightened disciples. who were, in a sense, feeling like they were bungee jumping without a cord, free falling to their demise. So Jesus' word of comfort, of peace, breathing upon them an energy, a power, a hope, was the word they needed at the time. But in our second text, the baptism of Jesus from Mark's gospel, Jesus' baptism by the Spirit sent him forth to interrupt religion as usual, to challenge established religious authority and turn the world upside down. Why do you think the powers had Jesus killed? There was a power unleashed in the world that was threatening, disruptive, uncomfortable. It was the Spirit as divine disruptor, Spirit as discomforter even, that makes this journey feel more like sometimes bungee jumping than a quiet walk in the park or a serene and mostly predictable worship service on a Sunday morning. Now, looking at our text from Mark's gospel, as Jesus' baptism happens in the ordinary Jordan River. They do ordinary things there. They get water. They bathe. And perhaps Jesus was there taking a bath, washing their clothes. The narrator says that Jesus came up out of the water, wet from the Jordan. And when he looked up, he saw the heavens open. No, he saw the heavens as they were torn apart. And the Spirit descending upon him like as a dove. But as one of my favorite preachers, Barbara Brown Taylor, says, quote, "This dove had claws and did some tearing on the way down." And there's no indication that others saw this, only Jesus. He saw the heaven torn apart, not opened, as Matthew or Luke say, the heavens were opened, but torn apart. The Greek word here is a form of the verb schizo, from which we get our word schism or even schizophrenia. It is not the same word as open. We open a door, we close a door. The door remains the same. But something torn apart is not easily put back together and closed. The ragged edges may never easily go together again as they were. So Mark, rather carefully, I think, uses this word, schizo. Perhaps he's remembering Isaiah's plea centuries earlier when the prophet cried out to God, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down to make your name known to your enemies and make the nations tremble at your presence." But now Jesus stood in the Jordan, the ordinary Jordan, dripping wet without a hint that anyone else saw the heaven torn open or heard the voice. There wasn't any sense that the nations were trembling at what was about to happen. But that didn't mean that something hadn't changed. Though we usually imagine God speaking in a booming voice, Charlton Heston, resonating deep, that's more the stuff of movies and not scripture. God's voice is more often the whisper, the breath, the quiet, still, small voice that reached Elijah hiding in the cave, or the voice that kept young Samuel getting up from his bed at night, or the voice that came to the peasant girl Mary with a quiet but bungee-jumping-like announcement. At the Jordan, the voice that came from heaven spoke to Jesus alone. It was intimate, it was direct. "You are my son, My beloved, with you I am well pleased. In you my spirit will be present in the earth in a new way. The heavens were torn open apart and they would never close the same way again. Earth meets heaven. But the torn place is where God comes through. The place that never again closes as neatly as before. Yes, Leonard Cohen, perhaps this is where you get your image of the crack that is in everything, that crack that lets in the light. There is a crack in everything. There is a tear in our hearts. There is a tear in our church. There is certainly a tear in our society. The crack, the tear that lets the light in. Might we say the crack, the tears that are part of the disruptive work of the Holy Spirit? And from the day that he saw the heavens torn apart, Jesus begins tearing apart the pictures of whom the Messiah was supposed to be. Tearing apart the social fabric that separated rich from poor, breaking through hardness of heart by bringing forth compassion, breaking through rituals that had grown rigid and cold and routine, tearing apart chains that bound the oppressed, tearing apart the notions of what it meant to be God's beloved son, tearing apart definitions of power and leadership, tearing apart the walls that kept women from equal access to the holy places. Nothing would be the same. Heaven had met earth. And at the end of his life, Jesus hangs on the cross between heaven and earth. And when he breathed his last, the scriptures say that the curtain of the temple was torn, the same Greek verb here, schizo, from top to bottom. The holy comes to us. There was no voice from the darkened heavens that day. God was silent, not even a whisper in that moment. But there is a voice, not from above, but from below. Not a divine voice, but a human voice, a least likely voice from the centurion soldier, keeping watch at the foot of the cross, marking time, waiting to pronounce death. And when he saw Jesus has breathed his last, he is the voice that says, truly, this man was God's son, the beloved. Where did that word come from? To him, of all people. The transforming work of the Spirit in a centurion soldier. That soldier that somehow heard the words whispered to Jesus alone at the Jordan now somehow comes to him. The word that came through the torn place in the sky, through the torn curtain. This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Perhaps the centurion heard that in a voice that came to him and felt both the comforting and discomforting presence of the Spirit that I think radically changed his life, even though we hear nothing more of this centurion soldier. Well, I suppose the reasons you've come here this morning, at least I hope one of them, is to be touched and transformed by the Spirit. And I'm hoping that perhaps some aspect of our worship this morning might cause you to respond in ways that you go away this morning believing that this has been a place of transformation, a comforting or a discomforting word, depending on what you need. A word that heals, or even a word that tears, so that some light may come into your soul. In this song that we sang, we ask nothing but that God may deal with the dimness in our soul. But I don't need to remind you, I don't think, that transformation can and does occur Monday through Saturday in places other than here in this room. After all, Jesus' baptism occurred not in the synagogue, but in the Jordan River. In the most unlikely places, maybe even when you're taking a bath or a shower, a voice other than your own singing loudly, a nudge that will come to you. And as your pastor, I'm not wise enough to know where those transformational moments will come to you or for this congregation, but just a few observations from my own experience and from talking to others, that these encounters with the Spirit often occur without us seeking them. Sometimes we're simply going about our business as usual. When something happens, maybe it may mean we're not even looking for the Spirit at that moment, but the Spirit seems to be looking for us, trying to get our attention, if a little bit notice. And these moments are often hard to describe and seem too weird or maybe even too ordinary for us to mention to someone else, so we may not mention it, or we may mention it to someone else and say, something weird happened to me, and maybe it was something I ate. And I wonder, what's the goal of all this, of this transformational work of the Spirit? Not just to make us better people, all that's nice, or to feel more religious or more holy, that's probably nice too. But I think it's so that this kingdom of joy and justice might be done on earth as it is in heaven, as we pray in the Lord's Prayer. And perhaps in the process, what happens is that we find ourselves at a place where our deep gladness meets the world's deepest need, as using a phrase from Parker Palmer in his book on vocation. Where our deep gladness meets the world's deep need, and those two come together. Today, a number of us are going in a couple of hours to have a presence at the Perkasie Borough Fall Festival up on the square. Simply to be there, have a presence, engage in conversation, see what happens. And who knows what transformational moments await us or those that we touch or try not to touch. So please pray for us or join us. And Friday night, some of us gathered at Blooming Glen Mennonite Church and assembled over 600 relief kits, MCC relief kits, in these buckets. And in those buckets are 4 towels, toothbrush, soap, shampoo, nail clippers, comb. What have I missed? Sanitary pads. Oh, yeah, I would miss that. All packed in this bucket, sent somewhere in the world where there's need for such a thing right now. And we experienced the joy of working together. The image that came to me was of an ant colony, everyone going their separate ways, very purposeful, trying not to run into each other, and doing a good job of getting a great deal of work done in a matter of an hour and 15 minutes. And who knows what transformational work of the Spirit awaits the people who receive these kits. And in this week, when our political system seemed to be coming apart at the seams with a great terror, there, I think, was some light that came in as women all across this country found their voices and called to be heard and respected. And there were sober moments, not just for white men on Capitol Hill, but for all of us. A radical tearing that destroys the old ways that men feel empowered to commodify and exploit and demean women. Maybe some light can come in that tear. The disruptive work of the Holy Spirit. So stay awake. Be expectant. It may be a bungee jumping kind of experience or a small, still voice in the night. Get ready to be surprised. The wind of the Spirit blows in mysterious ways. Come, divine comforter. Come, divine disruptor. Amen.